Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
Yes, it is indeed what it is. It is Motto at Midnight. I am your host, Motto Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. Start off with, put something aside, old business, just something that needs to be clarified is the right word, but last week's show was kind of unusual. For those of you who listen to it, you probably know what I'm going to talk about. And I'm not someone who's going to come and profusely apologize for every little thing that goes wrong, but I do feel I need to say something about this. I got some bad news right before the show. It probably would have been better for me to have just not done the show. What I should do is have a show on tape ready to go if when something like that happens. But I didn't, and I don't. I went ahead and the show must go on. I went ahead and did the show, and maybe not the greatest idea I ever had. There's an issue I was very emotionally involved in, involving my daughter. And I was angry not at her, but I'm angry at her husband. They're going through a divorce right now. And I spoke about him, and I used some words, actually one word that I very much regret using. And again, I'm not someone who just jumps in and says, I'm sorry, I apologize, every time someone is offended by what I said. So again, I feel this is dragging down the show this week already, so I'm not going to let this go on too long. I consider this to be sacred space, the show. We're in ceremony. I'm holding sacred space, and I did not honor that space last week. I need to own that. I get angry, and getting angry is fine. Doing something that's deliberately hurtful is not fine, no matter how angry I am. So I don't apologize for being angry. I do apologize for being hurtful. And that's the last thing I'm going to say about that. Okay, so now we're on to this week, which this Friday, starting off very much like last Friday did, except I didn't get a strange phone call 5 minutes before the show. Worked all week at the standardized test grading place. Still grading the same question. About 1,000 of them a day, and it's soul draining. And I'm looking forward to two more weeks of it. It's not. Other people do worse things. Other people do things that are physically harmful to them or dangerous, and they do them for very honorable reasons. Sometimes I do this because I need the money. Certainly, I don't believe in the concept of standardized testing at all. I don't believe much in the way that we're executing it. Even if I did believe in the testing, I don't really like the way that we're doing it. I think the worst thing is I have to get up at 6 every morning to have a vehicle. So I take the bus out to the periphery. So I live downtown. In order to get there in time for work, I have to wake up very early. And most of the time, by the time I finally manage to find my way home, all I want to do is get back on my air mattress and go back to sleep. So my business doesn't get done. I got all kinds of stuff piled up that I should be doing this weekend, except that I won't be doing them because Jaws is in town. The movie Jaws is in town, and I'm going to. My plan was to go to at least to all three of the showings. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that now. So I said, I have other things that I need to get accomplished. And the main thing is I have my cousin JR, who's a very devoted fan of the show, who may be listening right now. I hope this broadcast finds you well. And you're going to be coming down with the show. We saw JR and I saw Jaws together when we were kids 40 years ago. So it's going to be a nice walk down memory lane, I think. The only problem is getting him here. He will be driving from his hometown to my hometown. And I'm not 100% sure because this neighborhood is still very new to me. And also because there's a festival going on, a street fair, and many of the ways that I have learned to get around are going to be blocked off. So I've been trying to think, how am I going to have JR come into town, and then where am I going to meet him and all this? I think the best thing to do is just going to have him come into the apartment, have him GPS his. I think he should be able to GPS his way here without any trouble if he comes in from the west. So I will get all that information to him at some point. I hope he might be listening. Maybe he just heard it. I'm not on my computer right now. That's another. These are all kinds of things. I want to get the internet into the apartment. I'm concerned about not having a steady source of income. Before I do that, but more and more it appears that that's something that I should do. That's something that's going to make my life easier. It's going to make me easier for me to reach other people. Certainly make it easier for me to reach you guys. Make it easier for me to reach people who might be able to employ me, who might be willing to employ me, as opposed to my spending 45 minutes to an hour on the internet at the library every weekday sometimes. I don't always get there. So I think that's I struggle with, what's the responsible choice? Well, I think it is a responsible choice, even though it does run upwards of $50 to $60 just to have the basic internet put in the house. I think that is something I'm going to get done again. Once I get this next, because you got to be here when the cable people are here, and I work all week, and I'm the only person in the apartment, and blah, 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 blah. The other thing that's been happening has to do with my car, which some of you know was wrecked not long ago. This is why I'm dependent on my buses to get around. I've been receiving, written into the sheriff's office to get a copy of the police report to find out for sure that the person who hit me doesn't have insurance. And I'm sorry, I just got a new message on my phone. That's what I don't multitask well. What was I talking about? Oh, listen, I had to send in to get a copy of the report, and I had to send $4. Sort of a file processing fee and a SAVE, a self-addressed stamped envelope, so they can send it to me. So I do all of this. And about two or three days later, I get an envelope in the mail that says your accident report. And I think, well, that's kind of, it was like, the pre-printed envelope. It looked more like an advertisement than it did, something from my friendly sheriff's department. In fact, it was an advertisement. It was an advertisement from a personal injury lawyer who sent me a copy of my accident report. Evidently, they can get them. And said, oh, we see you've been in an accident. Are you hurt? Call us. We can get you lots of money. And I've gotten four. I've gotten four that were strictly accident, and I've got one of them that I'm actually thinking of calling to talk specifically about recovering money for damages to the car. Because that's the only way I'm going to get anything fixed, is to be able to get some sort of cash from somebody. So I don't know if it's I don't know any of the details. I don't know how it even works. It was a solicitation. They don't know what the details are either. I may call them and they say, "Well, sure, we can't help you." But I figure at least call. What the hell? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But then that's not the easiest thing for me. I do have that little phone phobia that I fight. So there's that, and so I got to call the student loan people. They finally caught up with me. Actually, no, I sent them an email and told them my new address finally. And they sent me a note saying I have to update this and update that. And they made the mistake of telling me that I have that they won't put my loan into default until the 1st of January. I said, oh, I've got 7 months. I really, really, really should not think about it that way. And they really, really, really should not have told me that. So they, I have to contact them. I have to figure I'm planning on going to see my parents for seeing my father for Father's Day. I have to get some sort of transportation lined up to get me there, whether I rent a car or whether I take a Greyhound bus to a nearby city, because the Greyhound doesn't go to my tiny hometown anymore. But I could get at least get closer. It would be easier for my aged parents to come and pick me up and take me back. I know exactly how that would work. So all these things have to be accomplished. At the same time that I'm working working every day, and I only have access to the internet when I'm at the library or I come home from work and all that. So it's daunting. And I understand that most people don't feel that things like that are daunting. It's different for me, and I don't understand why. And one of my main therapy goals, which I just did that first every year, we renew our therapy goals. And someday, I hope to be here. 10 years I've been in therapy now. But anyway, one of my therapy goals, I want to be able to do things that other people do, that other people seem to not have trouble doing, but I do. It's difficult for me. I want to find that sort of confidence that other people have that I don't. And that's, it's a spiritual thing, at least partly, that I talk about. You know, Chief Iggy, in that recorded message at the beginning of the show, you know, announced me as a shaman. And there are sometimes I feel like a shaman, and there are other times when I feel like a fraud saying that I'm a shaman. Because my life is filled with so many issues that I just don't have the strength to deal with. I mean, how do I present myself as a spiritual person who's going to be helping other people when I can't help myself? I'm constantly being reassured by Iggy and others that that's not a problem. So I keep going one way or another. All right, shaman. I've been pronounced a shaman. Fine, I'll be a shaman. Because it's fun and interesting to do. I just heard a knock. I don't know if it was on my door or not, but we're going to ignore it for now. Because it's Friday and it's after midnight, and I'm not expecting anybody. So let's see what the Shaman Tarot deck has to say to us this evening. I have actually prepared this already because I was going through this last week. It's difficult for me to shuffle the deck with one hand. So I was just before the show, while I was preparing all of my spiritual stuff, I went ahead and drew the card. And what we got an interesting one tonight. This is the Seven of Drums, and it's suppleness. You heard that right. It's suppleness. Capacity to adapt to unforeseen events, tolerance, adaptation, and twist of fate. Now, how does that dovetail into what I was just talking about? The card itself, it's a female figure, and she is dancing on the seashore. And she is very decorated. She's got ribbons on her. She's got, I guess, what do you call those bracelets? What's the ankle bracelets? What's the ankle equivalent of a bracelet? I don't know. She's playing a tambourine, and there are birds flying around her head, and there are waves, and it's in sort of sea foam and blue color palette. But her costume is more kind of red and purple. So that's just trying to share as much detail as I can. It looks like there's some, what is that around her? There's some sort of black or something in the sky. I don't know whether that's the color has just come off of the card or what that's all about. They look like little orbs that you see in the photographs. People talk about them when they show up, little kind of circles. It's, some people believe are representative of spirits with you. They show up in the photograph and you didn't see them there in the event. Kind of what those look like, except they're not particularly round. So suppleness, I guess I was just speaking about how there was a lack of suppleness in my life, if that's how we're going to describe that. While that's fresh in our minds, Let's go ahead and look at walk in dry places. What is today? I don't even know. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We'll do June 13th. Progress in stages, a day at a time. The world of addictions is not known for encouraging personal qualities such as patience. It's more of a world where people dream of world-shaking achievement that will set everything right in an instant and put us on easy street forever. This false world was really one in which we were seeking excitement and quick victories. We simply didn't realize that happiness could be found in the patient, persistent, everyday work that most people perform. Living sensibly, we can easily see ourselves making progress as we complete the ordinary tasks of living. There can be accomplishment in doing the little things, and there can be enjoyment in activities that once seemed boring and dull. Great pleasure and peace can come from simply taking time to smell the roses. I remember that the excitement and pleasure I need are to be found in the place where I am now, and I can get the best out of it. It's one of those things that's not exactly what you wanted to hear. I kind of wanted to hear that things are going to be different. Walk in dry places is kind of telling me that I shouldn't expect things to be different, that I should look like at the south door, look within. Let's look within to find fulfillment in what I'm doing in my everyday tasks. Ooh, that's just scary. Because while you sit in silence waiting for me to say something. Let me just be boring for a minute. I don't like what I'm doing right now. You probably picked up on that. What is it that I don't like about it? It's dull. I guess that would be the biggest indictment I can make. My life is mired in dullness. It's not necessarily that I need excitement. What I need is not dullness. Something that, well, I need something that I'm attached to. Maybe attached isn't the right word. I'm not supposed to say attached. Something I feel a part of. Isn't that attached? It sounds kind of similar. I don't believe in what I'm doing. I need to do something that I can get behind. Even if it's menial. Now, I don't really want to do something menial because I believe I'm capable of more. Like a menial task for me is a waste of material. But that said, I could do a menial task if I was behind it. If it was accomplishing something that I felt strongly about, was something that I wanted to accomplish. And there are all kinds of things sitting dormant in my life. I don't know about all kinds of things, but the book is certainly one, something that's sitting in my life, ready to be done. All I have to do is pick it up. And this persistent banality gets in the way, or I perceive that it's getting in the way. But walk in dry places is kind of saying that's really not what's happening. So I may have to take issue with walk in dry places here. Maybe we're not talking about the same thing. But it is a thing not to expect quantum shifts. And maybe that's what I have been expecting. Maybe that's why I'm not making the progress that I'd like to make. Because I'm expecting the world to change overnight for me. My world to change overnight. To suit my expectations, and that's not something that's going to happen. And there are certain things in my certainly there are certain things in my life that need to change. So I need to work to change those. And I gotta change just because I'm whining about them needing to change. I need to take action to do that. So going back to the card now. Card says suppleness involves capacity to adapt to unforeseen events, tolerance, adaptation, or twist of fate. A twist of fate kind of suggests, well, even a twist of fate wouldn't have to be earth-shattering. Adaptation, finding something finding something meaningful in that drudgery that I do, which is only going to last 2 more weeks, and then I'm going to be down to zero. How much am I going to miss that job once I don't have it anymore? I have to find something else. Silk screen T-shirts somewhere was one lead that I have. Again, nothing. I'm not going to talk that down. Maybe I would find great fulfillment in doing that. Maybe not great fulfillment, or maybe it's something that would provide opportunities for me beyond silk screen and the T-shirts. Getting involved talking to customers. I don't know, that sounds a lot like sales. I've always said that I'm not very good at sales, but maybe that's just something I say. Maybe I say I'm not good at sales because it scares me. Oh, capacity to adapt to unforeseen events. It's another thing I've always said that I'm not very good at, but I seem to do it when the chips are down. Yeah, maybe it's finding that faith in myself to make that happen. Interesting. I want to relate one thing while I still have some time. I don't think I've talked about this on the air at all, but there's my stories come from things that occur to me when I'm bored and I'm trying to entertain myself. And in the last several weeks, I've had lots of opportunities to be bored and had to entertain myself. And I've come up with this running narrative unfortunately, it's not something I think I could ever adapt into a story that I might write and publish. It's just something that's has a lot of elements that are only interesting to me, and I'm not going to go into it in too much depth. Just say it's a story of a man and his family who succeed against certain odds. I don't want to go into the details to take too long, but I was waiting on a bus earlier this evening. In fact, just a little while before the show, I wanted to go out and get something to eat. And I was waiting for the bus, and the bus didn't come. And while I'm bored, again, this narrative comes up, and I start reviewing it, start telling the story to myself again. And the narrative came to an abrupt end. The guy died. He died, and I was listening to his wife eulogize him. And you're talking about what a hard life it was they had together, but what a wonderful life it was they had together. And now she was going to go on. And I found myself imagining in great detail the circumstances of this guy's death. And then I thought, okay, I need to be clear with the universe that I'm not trying to manifest this. Okay, I don't want this thing that I'm thinking about, this death that I'm thinking about in such detail. I don't want this to happen to me. So, and realizing, of course, death, it wasn't a violent thing or anything like that, but I was thinking about medical details of what happened to the guy. I'm like, okay, I don't want to manifest this. I don't want this to be happening to me, when I'm asleep tonight. And I began to think that began to actually concern me. That's something that might happen. And I realized that this story, this narrative that's been dominating my thoughts, crowding out everything else, no writing, it's hard to even get the Shaman Tarot done. I haven't done any Shaman Tarot this week until now. All that stuff got crowded out by this narrative. I think it's trying to tell me, whoever's whatever spirit guides or heavenly beings and spirits might be involved here, trying to tell me time for this to end. Okay, the guys they killed him off for me, and it's time to let this narrative go now. It's not that important. It's just some sort of meaningless details. I've spent nights staring at my ceiling thinking about the prenuptial agreement A couple of times I almost got up out of bed to write it because it was obsessing me so much what their prenuptial agreement would look like. And again, this is not something that would have any sort of interest for anyone else, I don't think. But it's just keeping my brain occupied. Keep my brain occupied at a time when I don't, when I at least feel like I don't have anything else to put out there. And I think I've received a message that it's time to not do that anymore. That if I want things to change, my thoughts have to be directed toward that change and not toward meaningless fantasy, I guess. Now, if I'm going to have meaningless fantasy, it ought to involve things more exciting than people's prenuptial agreements. But plenty of things I work on, you know, I have I counted them up. I have about something like 40 stories that I've put at least some kind of thoughts down on paper. I mean, there's plenty of work for me to do. I'm not sitting here with nothing to do, with no direction to take. There are lots of directions to take. I just need to pick one and start doing it. So that makes me wonder, do I really need to be so concerned about finding regular work? I mean, I'm sitting here with regular work now and I'm miserable. I have to have something to, you know, keep bread on the table. So I'm going to be working somewhere. I'm going to be doing something. But you know, this regular, you know, 35 to 40 hours a week thing, probably not. It's not leading me to where I need to be, which is telling these stories that I need to tell. I've been trying to tell. I've been talking about it. And you people are probably tired of hearing it. I've been talking about all the 4 years that the show has been on. I'm going to write my book. I'm going to share these stories. It's going to be, you know, at least going to fulfill me personally in some way, even if it doesn't pay me financially. And it doesn't get done. Other things keep popping up, getting in the way, and a decision has to be made. No one else can make it but me. I have to decide I'm ready to not worry about this stuff anymore. And I'm ready to trust that, as the New Agers say, I'll trust that abundance will come to me if I let it. The energy I'm putting out there is an energy of blocking. No, I have this thing I have to do right now, and this other stuff I have to put aside so I can do this work and make this $12 an hour and pay my rent and pay my light bill and all that. So that's a blocking energy. It's blocking out other things that could be more important, could be more exciting, could be more spiritually rewarding, could be more financially rewarding if I let it happen. If I let it come to me. So anyway, we're coming down to the end of it now, unless, of course, Iggy programmed me for 45 minutes, which he has been wont to do. I haven't gotten my 90-second warning yet. Iggy, my friend. Or, you know, I could also not be connected anymore. That's happened sometimes, too. No, I can't. I have to go to bed. I have company coming tomorrow. I have to do laundry. I got to get the apartment straightened up. I didn't get a chance to go to the bank tonight. I wanted to go and put my check in the bank, and I didn't get there. Oh, things. There'll be time to do it. There'll be time to get everything done tomorrow. I have all the time there is, and we'll get everything that needs to be done. We'll get done tomorrow. In fact, it'll get done in the few hours I have before JR arrives. I must be ready to entertain him. We're going to go see Jaws. It's going to be great. Come in a little early, and we're going to visit the arts festival that's here in town. Weather permitting, we'll go have a look at that. And then be at the theater by 7:30 to see the show. I'm excited. Looking forward to it. Okay, so I'm not as Iggy's urgings to the contrary. Oh, I will say this, since I have a little bit of extra time. Chief Iggy is going to be taking a trip to Peru, his homeland, here in a, I think it's going to be a couple weeks before he leaves. He's going to be a little spiritual pilgrimage going on, so I want to make sure I wish him well. If I happen to forget over the next couple of weeks, because he's not leaving right away. So I think it is. I think it's 2 weeks from yesterday when he's leaving, if I'm remembering right. And he's going to be gone, I believe, for about a month. So all the best to him, getting in touch with his roots, getting in touch with his shaman power down there in Latin America. I think, I don't know. As I said, I think I've said everything I had to say. I wanted to talk a little bit. I don't really have anything to say about the movie I saw tonight. I went last week. I talked a little bit about Notorious, the movie I saw last week. This week, I went with the same friend and saw Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, the Marilyn Monroe vehicle. And I'd never seen it before. So it's 2 weeks in a row. I mean, this is kind of a step for me. I should give myself credit for incremental progress. 2 weeks in a row, I have gone boldly and seen a movie that I've never seen before in a situation where I couldn't get up and leave because I was there with somebody else. And I tolerated it well. I actually enjoyed both of the movies. Now, they were pretty short movies, but they were movies. So, hooray for me. I'll give myself that. Hooray for me. Now, tomorrow, I'll catch a movie again tomorrow, but I know Jaws. I think the other movies that are on this summer that I'm considering going to see are all ones I've already seen before. Yeah, I believe so. So that opportunity probably won't be there for me until next year. I'll just have to look forward to that. Okay, now I believe that we've officially crossed into rambling. So I'm going to sign off. I once again thank you for, my rhythm is all gone because what's supposed to happen is that 90-second warning hits, and then I start to wrap it up, and I have a rhythm that I get into that I know is about, will take me just about up to the end of that 90-second. But without that clock running, I'm having a hard time wrapping up this show. So maybe I just need to just step out of it because I do need to go to bed. I do need to get some sleep. The morning's going to come early, and I got lots to do. So your thoughts and prayers are always appreciated. Also, if you want to find out more about what we do here at With Insights Radio, you can look at withinsightsradio.com. There's also I don't know if they call it a tip jar, but that's what it is. This is listener-supported radio. And it does cost a little bit of money to use Blog Talk Radio's facilities. So anything you can give is much appreciated. Okay? Okay, this time I really think that's it. So join me next week, and I will have more wonderful and interesting things to tell you. Have a pleasant, good evening.